So it's been a while. Should we get married? Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Long Awaited. We are back, special edition episode of Should We Get Married with Kylie and Kyle.
We're back in your butt.
Yes. Hey, hey. Oh my gosh, we're back.
Yeah.
So this is a podcast about relationships. It's about our relationship. It's about other people's relationships. We're going to talk about everything relationship. We're asking the question, should we get married?
Should we?
We're asking the question, should anyone get married?
Should you?
What is the societal expectations on all of this? How do we navigate it? How do we enjoy a relationship? How do we go through the hard times and the good times and all the daily stuff, the poops and the farts?
Yeah. Mainly the poops and the farts.
And the me likeies and the me no likeies.
So many no likeies.
But that's what this podcast is about, and we're happy to have you aboard.
We are happy to have you aboard.
And by the way, speaking of being aboard, thank you so much for listening. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being in this small, scrappy community. And we appreciate you very much. If you want to follow along with any of this, you can obviously subscribe and download our podcast. I don't know if you subscribe, but anyways, you download them. You can
you can subscribe.
You can leave us a 5-star review.
Nice.
Anywhere where you listen to podcasts, you can follow us on Instagram, which is at SWGMpod. You can head to our website, shouldwegetmarriedpod.com, and leave us an anonymous question, comment. You can tell us a big, long secret. You can confess to murder, whatever you want to do there.
You can ask where we've been after 3 months of silence, yes. Which thank you for all the people for doing that.
Yeah, we had a few of those.
People were like, is everything okay?
Well, this is good because I want to get into, it's been a while.
Hey, that was a good intro, Kyle.
Oh, thank you, Kylie.
Excellent work. I really enjoyed that. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. Feels good.
It's been so long. It's a new year.
Yeah, it's
a dad joke.
It's 2020.
Yeah.
I'll see you next year.
Hey, I hate when people say that.
Do you hate it?
Pretty much. If it's within like the last 3 months of a year, yeah.
By the way, real quick, I have the squeakiest chair. I need a new office chair. I can't move. Honestly, I got to sit still this whole time. Let me just give it one squeak.
Yeah.
You ready? Here we go.
Okay, that happens 80 times a day, and every time it happens, Salem gets up very quickly where he is and makes very loud nails on the floor, and it's so annoying. We need a new chair.
Salem's our dog, for those, if you're new here.
Well, sent him back to the pound, though, so
no,
he's not here. That's why you don't hear him.
We didn't send him back to the pound, but I threaten it all the time, just so he knows that his life hangs on the balance of how I feel. At any given moment.
Oh, he knows.
Dude, so we redid the floors in this house. We remodeled. We're going to get into that. But we have a new podcast office space.
Podcasting! Echoey!
It's very echoey in here. But Salem's not in here. The door is shut, so we don't hear the tippy-tappies anymore. So no threatening him going back to the pound, which, frankly, I will miss.
Mm-hmm.
I will miss doing that.
Hey, you know how I just said a minute ago that I don't like when someone says, see you next year?
Yeah.
It just reminds me that I heard something the other day that I absolutely hate, like, please don't do this, is when you say, well, surely you don't want to blah, 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 blah. And someone goes, first of all, don't call me Shirley. Second of all, I cringe inside.
The Shirley thing?
Don't call me Shirley. That's such a dad joke.
Yeah.
Do you say it?
No, I don't say it.
Okay, you looked like you said it. You look like you've said it a few times.
I have never, honestly, I've never said that.
Are you going to now?
No, I'm not going to do that now.
Will you do it to me now because I said I hate it?
It might happen.
Probably.
Because that's how I like to really dig in the claws.
That's how your life is structured, is like anything that I confess is annoying, you just will do it 80-fold.
That's not true.
80-fold? Yeah.
Anyways, so we took a long break, and I didn't know we were going to take a break.
Yeah, that was unplanned.
It was an unplanned break. We went through a house remodel. We went on a couple of vacations. Our friend passed away. And also, we had to kind of rethink the podcast in general. Mm-hmm. And I experienced some burnout with the podcast, even though we didn't do it very often. Compared to professional podcasts, you're doing it weekly or more with bonus episodes, which was our actual intention, was to do it weekly. But being in a relationship and having a podcast, this thing that you create and you put it out in the world, it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And just the podcast alone, and then editing the podcast, getting all the gear and posting it, writing all the copy, doing all the social media, it's hours and hours and hours of work a week. Every time there's content, it takes a lot of work. So, and we're not, you know, this is not a professional podcast, and we're just trying to make this work and sitting down and having a conversation as much as we can together, you know, because we're on our phones otherwise, or in front of some sort of screen, or in a job, or eating food. And yeah. I just want to talk, you know, the whole idea of this podcast is sit down and talk with you in earnest and to have some fun. But anyways, we experienced some burnout, and now we're back and we have a new structure. Do you want to talk about the new structure?
Sure. And I want to chime in on the break portion.
Yeah.
Because I just want to say that this year's kind of seasonal depression, which I know a lot of people use that lightly, hit me very hard. Like maybe the hardest it's ever hit me. I really went through a several weeks there where I was really low. And that was January, February, the worst months of the year, by the way.
Yeah. Around here. For yeah. Sure.
And I know this happens to you as well.
Yes.
But when that's going on, I'm not motivated to do anything. I'm not motivated to go to work. I'm not motivated to do hobbies. I wasn't motivated to do the podcast. And yeah, I had to talk myself into just allowing that to roll through me and to do nothing and to relax and to kind of just get through it. So
well,
I'm on the other side of it, I think, at this point.
Yeah, it's a constant battle for me too. But also the break, this is why I believe, so the creative process, if it's a lot different than you're clocking in 9 to 5 and doing the job that's in front of you, which that in and of itself is really amazing. That's a form of meditation. Like mowing the lawn can be very relaxing and very wonderful, and also very difficult and very hard. That's just one example of many I have about laborious
laborious
jobs. But the creative process is different. It takes a long time, and inspiration needs a hit, and work is bloody business in the mind. And sometimes, in this case, a lot of time of being bored and depressed and, you know, happy and sad and figuring out life, and then coming back to the thing that we ultimately created was a really beneficial process. Mm-hmm. The break was nice, letting things kind of gestate and remembering that, oh, holy shit, this thing is really incredible. I really love it. The community is amazing. And I love this dialogue that we have as a couple, as friends, as podcasters, and as creators. I really love it. So that's where I came, as a full like burnout, chilling, relaxing, boredom, all the life roller coasters in between. And then eventually, hey, this podcast is really incredible and I really enjoy it. And we need to get it going again.
Yeah. We never intended to stop or end it in any way. But that break was great. I feel rejuvenated.
Yeah.
We're back.
Yeah.
The new structure.
Feeling pumped.
That's me fist bumping. The new structure is we are going to publish a new episode every other week, which in fact is bi-weekly, which Kyle
bi-monthly,
learned
you mean
this week.
Two times a month is bi-monthly. Two times a month is not bi-weekly.
That is every other week.
Bi-weekly is twice a week.
It is not.
Okay, well then what's twice a week then?
Twice a week.
And tell me, what's bi-daily mean?
No one uses bi-daily.
But, but if
so, everyone I work with doesn't know what bi-weekly is then, because we have so many bi-weekly phone calls and bi-weekly meetings, which are every other week.
That is, in fact, the argument I'm posing. The people that have told you about this bi-weekly, bi-monthly wrongness are wrong. They're very wrong. Don't look it up.
Shall I Google it?
Don't Google it.
I Googled it last time we talked about this, and I was correct.
Okay, let's just assume that I'm right and go ahead with the
So let's the be specific. We are every other week. I can't be more specific okay. than that.
All right, all right.
Okay? And then if we get inspired with a bonus episode, we kind of want to bring those back. And might I say, if you've come here later in the game, some of my favorite episodes were right out of the gate. We did these three called the... was it 30 questions
that lead to love? 36 questions.
36 questions that lead to love. It's from the New York article. We did this experiment over three episodes. They're like really early. So super fun. Go listen to those and try it out. That's been my favorite bonus.
We encourage you to do those questions with at any level of a relationship, beginning or deep into a marriage, any of it.
Yeah. And I'm not sure why, Kyle, but... our most popular episode is the one called What Happens in Fight Club? Or is that what it's called?
Welcome to Fight Club?
What Happens in Fight Club, I think is what it's called. It's like the most downloaded. We talked about conflict resolution.
Oh, really? So
that's interesting. Fun fact.
Dude, conflict resolution is so important in a relationship. It's like, how do you navigating any confrontation or any like... stretch of silence. That shit's tough. But I'm sure it's because it was a dramatic, juicy title.
Or someone shared it and then it just, who knows, spidered off.
So our last podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Our last podcast, I Sing Blackbird.
Yeah. Beautifully. And it was after Thanksgiving.
After Thanksgiving. We went through the holidays. Christmas, we spent home, which I think spending Christmas somewhere else is better for the seasonal depression for me.
Ooh, okay.
And I know you like spending it at home.
Love it at home. I'd rather leave like the day after Christmas to go somewhere.
Okay. That sounds like a good compromise.
Let's actually do that.
And then New Year's.
You're went kind by. Of forgetting a big thing.
Oh, what did I forget?
Right after we recorded, we went to Universal Orlando.
Oh, that was then? Oh, yeah.
Harry Potter
World. We went to Harry Potter, Universal Studios, Harry Potter World. And then we took an excursion over to Disney World and went to Star Wars Land.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun. The whole thing was amazing.
I didn't want to come back.
No.
And I've never wanted to stay here. What? I want to go back. I want to live there in Harry Potter World. Mentally, I live there.
They have the whole other... So, like, Disneyland has one big section, which is Hogsmeade.
You mean Universal in California?
Yeah, what did I just say?
Disneyland.
Shit.
It's all good.
I meant Universal in California. They have Hogsmeade Village, which has the castle and stuff. But over at Universal Studios Disney World... I'm sorry, Universal Studios Orlando...
Oh, man.
They have Hogsmeade, and then you can take... the Hogwarts Express.
Yes.
Over across into an entire another park, which has Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
And within Diagon Alley, there's shops, there's food, all this expensive stuff you can buy, which you do because you're there.
More rides. They've got a secret alley, dark alley that goes to Nocturne Alley, where Borgin and Burks lives.
Which is my jam because I'm a Slytherin and that's where I roll.
Yeah.
That's where I hang out.
Totally.
I just hung out there. I was just like, I leaned against a wall and flipped a quarter.
You loved it down there.
I was chewing gum, flipping a quarter and going, hey, what are you looking at? I was doing that.
Just cursing people.
Yeah. Casting spells on people. Yeah.
And what else, what did we do there? Unless you don't want me to spoil it.
No. the
candy sitch.
Honey Dukes.
Honey Dukes.
We got, okay, so we have vlogs that are that I haven't edited yet because, you know, that was within the break, and there's some really fun stuff. I can't wait to put these videos together because we go to Honey Dukes and a lot of shenanigans ensue.
Damn, you don't want to say what we did there?
I don't want to say it.
Okay, fair.
I don't want to say it. Not yet. Not yet. Let me just say we spent a lot of money there.
Uh-huh.
Too much money.
And then didn't eat any of it.
Okay.
It's still in our kitchen.
We got to eat this candy.
A couple of them expired. And I was like, fucking no. I'm still going to eat them.
Just one. Oh, I'm totally eating the expired candy for sure. So, okay, so Christmas, holidays, New Year's, after that.
Here we are. Depression.
Depression, New Year's. My friend, you know, on a sad note, the one that we left off, we were talking about who I sang Blackbird for, she passed away. Mary passed away.
Yeah, like the day we got back from vacation.
Yeah.
That was sad.
The thing about, here's the thing about life is, It's a wild ride. It's crazy. There's all kinds of ups and downs. And when somebody passes away, it's really heavy. But there's always a silver lining, no matter how dark things are. And what I've found out that the silver lining is in death is people come together. And they share wonderful stories and wonderful feelings about the person and the people in their life. And it's really incredible. And the funeral was great. And the friends and family that circled around the situation, as sad as it was and still is, it was beautiful. And I definitely see that. And my thoughts about death are seeing that silver lining and enjoying the sadness and enjoying the communication and the connections that you have with the people around that person's life, was all changed because of Steve and Nancy, which if you've listened to the podcast, I've talked about Steve and Nancy. And they taught me how to, that, you know, as a recovering alcoholic, they taught me how to love and be loved. And they took me into their home when I didn't have one, when I was 22 to 24. And they taught me how to live in a way that I didn't know how to live. And while I lived there, Nancy had cancer and she passed away while I lived there. And I got to experience death in a whole new way that took a lot of the fear out of it and a lot of the crushing weight of it out of it, where it was a full living funeral when I was living there. And they had fostered kids their whole life. And that's why they were capable of taking someone like me into their home. They foster kids their whole life. So there were hundreds of people visiting Nancy while she was laying in her deathbed, essentially.
Wow. Yeah.
And we would stay up and, you know, read to her. And there were shifts all through the night. And when she passed away, we had absorbed all of this love and all of this friendship and family. And we put it all into this energy. And when she passed away, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And not all death happens that way. A lot of it's way too fast and, you know, very shockingly way too fast.
Which I feel happened to Mary.
Mary, she was diagnosed with ALS. And
early summertime?
They told her she had, I think, 2 years, or was it 1 year? I think it was 2 years.
I think it was 2 years.
They were like, you have 2 years to live. Get on your bucket list right away. And it was so progressive that they couldn't do the bucket list. A lot of it anyways. Mm-hmm. And she ended up passing away in like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really fast. But anyways, that was something that happened in the last few months. And again, like, there's a silver lining in everything. I can find a silver lining in everything. And by the way, I can find a silver lining in everything because I have to. I have to, otherwise I'd probably already be dead by now. if I didn't have that method of positivity and that that work involved in half glass full type of thinking.
Yeah, we have to push through things and find our way through them with ourselves and with others, and you grow from those things.
Yeah, and how everyone feels about death is, it's all individual. There's absolute no right or wrong way to feel about it. Mm-hmm. It can affect you as hardcore or as little as it does, and process it in as much or as little time as one does. It's all okay. And it's okay if you don't cry. It's okay if you do cry. All of this stuff is individually effective, and it's part of life. Emotions are part of the human condition. We mm-hmm. got to go through them. The only way out is through. Anyways.
Yeah.
Miss you, Mary.
Miss you, Mary. And guess what?
What?
Tim Noah was at her funeral. And that was interesting. I grew up on Tim Noah.
Yeah, me too.
And I hope people listening are like, oh yeah, Tim Noah. He did these like sing-along, like weird.
He wrote kids songs.
Yeah, but he also did them on video. Like I would have the VHS and he'd be doing these like skits with the songs and things. Yep. And
he was local.
Fuck, did I listen to those and watch those.
He was really local though.
And I never knew he was local. Mm-hmm. Until like I was a little older, and then we were at that funeral. I had talked to my dad after, and I was like, Tim Noah played music there. And
yeah,
my dad's like, do you remember going around to all of his shows when he played?
And I was
like,
do.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I bet a lot of people did. And he's so pleasant. And I went and said hi to him, and he introduced you on stage to sing Blackbird. And I'm going to say this because I know you won't. But he was so kind and generous, and you had a real moment up there with the crowd, and you gave a speech about Mary and sang this song, and it was really touching.
I nailed it.
Yeah. And he was, you know, supposed to go back up and play longer. And I found out, you know, he kind of packed up and went home, and I asked you later, and apparently he said, you know what? That was perfect. I don't need to go back up.
Well, I buttoned up the moment.
Yeah.
But
That was cool. Like he only played one song and then you went up and then that was that.
He played a couple. It was like, it was really cool because I grew up with Tim Noah too. And, you know, mm-hmm. Be up there, play a couple songs with him and be a part of that was really cool. It was really great. And he's amazing. Like I look up to him a lot. We had a nice conversation. He has a theater down in Snohomish.
Oh, yeah.
That's really fantastic. They help out the community, and he's a big part of arts and community and a little bit of outreach, and he's really great, and he's a wonderful person too. I don't know him really well, but it was really incredible to get to talk with him and mm-hmm. do the whole deal.
Just to jog your memory. The wow wow wibble woggle wazzy woodle woo. Remember?
Oh yeah. That was one of his tunes. Yeah. Dude, yeah, those videos were gnarly too.
I want to rewatch them.
It was like being on like a magical mushroom ride.
I know. It was so funky. It was weird.
Super funk.
That's why I want to rewatch Never Ending Story, because I watched that over and over over as a kid, and I don't think I ever understood it. And I was always like creeped out by it, but also loved it. And if I watch that now, it's going to be interesting.
Those movies back in the 80s and 90s where they were made for kids, but they were weird as fuck, are the best movies ever, dude.
Yeah. It was Pan's Labyrinth at that time. Is that kind of the late 80s?
No. That was in the early aughts.
Oh, man.
Guillermo del Toro.
That all's just blending together.
Yeah. But that one's a good one, too. That's a good kids movie that's weird and scary.
Mm-hmm.
Pan's Labyrinth. He kind of brought that back. Anyways.
What else are we talking about?
So we have a new podcast room. This is very exciting. You're hearing an echo in here. We're going to try and get that down. We might look into soundproofing this area. Not soundproofing, but kind of diminishing the sound in here.
That'd be cool, because would it work the opposite way as well?
What do you mean?
Would it drown out the neighbor?
Oh, man.
Because
no, it wouldn't.
Can I do the impression?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they're not listening.
You're going to do it anyways.
Our somewhat elderly neighbors have a puppy.
They might be listeners. You never know.
Well, that's fine. But every day, several times a day, they take their dog out to go to the bathroom. And we hear wherever we're at in our house, they're just like, Ginger, Ginger, go to the bathroom. Are you going to come in? Are you going to do it? No, don't do that. Ginger, hey, are you going to listen to me?
Okay.
Do you want to come in now?
Like, all right.
They just have this conversation.
Yeah.
One-sided.
And it's a puppy.
We joke about it.
Ginger's a handful for him. And it's honestly really cute.
It's really sweet.
It's kind of annoying though too.
We're going to soundproof the outside.
I started streaming video games. Can I mention that?
Oh, did you?
On Twitch.
You sure did. So Farfel Bean.
I've always wanted to stream video games. I've always wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, here's how that works is.
Please tell me how that works.
Yes. Here's how it works is you play video games live, yes. And it's streamed live.
Yes.
And you talk with people who watch you play video games and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's essentially all that it is. But here's the cool part is I love it.
I love it too.
Yeah.
I watch you at work. I have it on the background and
it's so much fun. It's
you
so much
say
fun.
Butt jokes and
butt jokes.
I get to laugh while I'm doing all my work.
Yeah, I love it. It's a new thing that I'm doing. I'm trying it out. I'm going to see how long I do it for, but it's a fun creative thing. I love playing video games. So I thought what better way to play video games than to create something at the same time. And I really love it. And it's also beneficial to what I do for a living creating. There's a lot of useful tools in there. And the way I have to make intro videos and outros and broadcasting, it's helping out my podcasting side of life because I have to talk live.
Mm-hmm. You also do little bits. I like them.
I do little bits. It's been really amazing to do something totally different and totally weird, and I love it.
Yeah. If you want to watch Kyle play Sekiro and just like swear a whole bunch, but also joke around and have a good time, his name's Farfel Bean.
I'm on Twitch, Farfel Bean. So Sekiro is by one of my favorite video game publishers, production houses,
publishers
called From Software. They make Dark Souls. If anybody's into video games, they know what I'm talking about. They've mm-hmm. heard of Dark Souls. For those of you who aren't into video games, I apologize, and this will be over with in momentarily. But they make Dark Souls, and the games are really difficult, and they're really amazing, and they're really deep in lore, and I love them so much. I'm a big fan of those and Zelda and really any game that's like a third person adventure single player mm-hmm. where I can do what I can't otherwise do in life. Go on these adventures and experience a really cool and fun story. It's like, you know, reading a book or watching a movie. It's just a different medium, really.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So streaming... That's all I got.
All right.
That's all I have to talk about. And streaming rhymes with
cheating.
That's my segment. What did you think?
It's close enough.
All right. I wanted to just, you know, hand it over to you for this one because you have something you want to talk about.
I want to talk about cheating.
Okay.
Which is super fun top. Ick.
Yeah.
Okay. So. We both listen to and enjoy very much Armchair Expert podcast with Dax Shepard and Monica mm-hmm. Badman.
One might call us a total ripoff of the Armchair Expert.
Oh, I don't think we can say that because they have high profile celebrities on there every week and are amazing.
And by the way, no one's as like Dax Shepard for a quote unquote layman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the smartest dude.
He is, and his ego would be pumping full of juice to hear you say that. That's his thing.
Anyways.
But
it's a great podcast.
We relate to them a lot. He's I mean, yeah, whatever. Go check it out. It's awesome. I feel like we can relate a lot with what they talk about. Like, he's sober and he just lives this kind of open lifestyle. But anyway, they're doing this new little segment called Monica and Just Love Boys. And they're like doing these deep dives into like their relationship stuff. And they had Kristen Bell on, and I was listening to it yesterday, and they were talking about cheating. And I wanted to talk about it here because it kind of made me think about, this is the shit we talk about, and it's important. And it also knocked me on my butt because she shared this kind of view she had about cheating, and she was so confident that if Dax ever cheated on her, they would for sure get through it, which isn't a stance that a lot of people have. And it's certainly not one that I have, but she was like, there's so much more going on there. If someone cheats on you, it's not about you. It's about that person who's cheating. They're missing something. They're trying to fill a gap. There's some part of them that they are, is like longing for something. There's something going on there. And as a society, we all have this idea that like cheating is a deal breaker. It's absolutely no, I'll for sure leave you if you cheat on me. No question about it. It's like this loyalty is so intense. Esther Perel talks about this too. And that's how I've always felt, because I've been cheated on and I've given people second chances. But I like thinking about you, Kyle, cheating on me feels like the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But I want to have a more evolved outlook on that, and she kind of like opened my eyes to that, because it's not weak to forgive someone for doing something like that to you. It's something to get through together and to grow from. And I just am curious if you've thought about this. If I came home and said I fucked up, I cheated on you, obviously it'd be very hard. I'm not saying, oh yeah, no problem, we'll get through it. But I mean, is that a deal breaker? Is that something you know we could get through? Have you thought about this? I'm curious.
Yeah. Yeah. I've thought about it. Who doesn't, I guess? Like, it's always like, that's like on the forefront, especially when you're younger, of being in a monogamous relationship, getting to know someone, getting through like the trust barriers. It's something that one thinks about, being in a relationship for sure, and how you would handle it. And the usual go-to is cut them and run.
Yeah.
It's black and white.
The most absolute betrayal.
Yeah. Absolute betrayal. I'm out. I'm never talking to you again. You're not in my life. I'm not in yours. You're a piece of shit and I'm out of here, and feeling really good about telling them off. But also having the whole other side of feeling betrayed and, you know, all of, you know, untrusted, I'm not finding the right word, but not being, you know, losing that trust in someone you really care about and all of this stuff. And the power of forgiveness is just like vulnerability. The power of forgiveness is a strength, and vulnerability is the exact opposite of what we think of it. It's a strength. We often think of those two things as a weakness, forgiveness and vulnerability. And it's an absolute strength to get through something. And something like cheating it's very contextual. It depends, absolutely depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. But if you were to come home, so forgiveness would happen regardless. But I don't know if we would stay together. We would have to have a conversation. It would have to be a whole conversation.
Yeah.
You would have to deal with my anger and wrath.
Well, sure.
And you would have to deal with me, you know, not trusting you and going through months, maybe years of rebuilding some things. Emotions, having sex again would be really tough. Mm-hmm. and it would be very hard, but whether we stay together or not, forgiveness would happen. And I don't know what that timeline would look like. It might take years for that, but you know.
Yeah. I like that. That makes a lot of sense. I like that answer. And something else she said about that is that
I haven't listened to this, by the way.
Okay. And, you know, I'm not ruining it for everyone because they talked about it for a long time and I'm just hitting on some tidbits. So definitely not a spoiler, but, she said what it came down to is they made an agreement and they're both on the same page that they want to be on the porch together when they're 80. And I thought that was such a cute sentiment.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah.
Right.
Sweet as in cute, as in sentimental, not as in fucking sweet.
Like they are in an arrangement where they love each other. And as long as they want to be on the porch together when they're 80, they're going to agree to work through whatever it is.
Mm.
Even if it's really, really hard. And I thought, wow, that's really an evolved way of looking at that. Obviously, if they try to work through it, they can't get over it. That's one thing. But as long as they both have that same goal, like everything in between is come and go. They're not welcoming each other to cheat on them, but they would explore why that happened.
Yeah, being open to working through things. Because you never know how working through things will go, but having the agreement to be open to do that is pretty great.
And I guess my point in bringing that up is I haven't had that view. And I would like to be more open-minded in general as a person. I want to grow and evolve. And also, I look at you, Kyle, and feel that you know, there's no end in sight for me, whatever that means. That's how I feel right now. And I think we're kind of on the same page as long as we feel that way, who knows? But I would like to think that I'd be open-minded enough to talk through something and give you the chance to like explain yourself if you did come home and say I did something bad, you know?
So here's a scenario.
Okay.
I come home and I go, listen, we got to talk.
Oof.
And you know, when you hear, hey, we got to talk, that means serious business.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the situation. I come in, I go, hey, honey, I know you're playing Gwent on your phone right now and you're watching The Office at the same time.
I can't pause Gwent, so make it quick.
But we need to sit down and we need to talk.
Ooh, yeah. That's a turn off the Gwent situation.
You would turn off the Gwent for that?
Uh-huh.
That's a situation where you would, in fact, turn off Gwent.
Yeah. If you aren't fucking with me and I can tell that you're serious, yeah.
Okay. So we sit down and I go, listen, I had a sexual relationship with a female. That isn't you. On my weekend to Bernie's.
Okay.
I was out at Bernie's for the weekend. I was hanging out with Bernie.
Got it.
And it was a funny situation because Bernie was actually dead. Okay. And me and my friend had to pretend he was alive for the whole weekend.
I would have more questions about
and
that part of it.
And here's the thing is we pulled it off. We pulled it off. It was crazy, man. He was dead the whole time.
I'd be so mad that I turned off Gwent for that.
No, but here's the thing. In that weekend, I had sex with another woman. So that's the situation. So you have sit down and talk.
Mm-hmm.
You've turned off Gwent.
Mm-hmm.
And The Office is turned off. And then
my life is
you have this whole amazing adventurous story of Weekend at Bernie's. And I'm talking about a sequel too. There might be another weekend where I hang out and Bernie's back and how does he come back? Why hasn't he decomposed yet? Anyways, and then you have me saying during that weekend with
And by the way, I fucked someone else.
I had sexual, well, I don't want to be crass.
You don't kiss and tell.
I don't want to be crass and I don't want to say the F word here in this situation. Mm. I want to bring it as delicately as possible.
You want to be sensitive to your mistress. I
want to be sensitive to you.
Oh.
Say, I did, in fact, there was full penetration with another woman.
Which hole?
Both holes.
Well, there's three holes.
Back and forth. Oh, there are three holes.
You back and forth. Ugh, it's messy.
Anyways, that happened. How do you handle it?
Okay. Immediate reaction. Complete brain explosion. Probably remove myself, go for a walk to process.
And that's because that weekend at Bernie's story was incredible. Like, how did you guys pull that off? Honestly.
I'm mostly thinking about how you pulled that off. A little bit thinking about the holes. And
I mean, the smell itself from Bernie would be self-evident to everybody around. But we managed, me and my friend managed to keep that away from people's senses. Like, they couldn't tell that he was dead. We pulled it off. So it's understandable why your brain explodes from that. But anyways, continue, please. Sorry.
Well, I'm also wondering, did you kill Bernie yourself?
That's right. No, we found him that way.
Well,
we found him that way.
I don't know if I believe you now because you're a cheater.
Okay, this is a good example of what happens when one cheats. Trust tends to fly.
This is exactly what happens if someone cheats.
But trust does then fly out the window. It goes away completely, right?
Well, okay. On a serious note, I have been cheated on.
Okay.
Never has my boyfriend or partner come to me to tell me that they've cheated or to confide in me that they've messed up. So it's already a little bit of a different scenario. I'm used to finding out either from someone else or by investigating myself in a myriad of ways, unfortunately, because, you know, we were all young once. And that, either way, it's bad, but that's extra bad because once you're lying and there are secrets involved, it feels worse. Okay. So I've never been there. I don't know what that would feel like, but that in itself is an act of openness and honesty, even as weird as that sounds. You're coming to me, you're telling me this, you're engaging in a conversation about it. So I would need time to think, but I'd also need to be very mad and yell and scream and mostly cry.
Anger and wrath.
Totally.
Yeah.
But that would pass and we'd talk about it. And you're right. It would take a long, long time.
Which, can I just mention, my feelings about anger is so there's a threshold that when you go over it, which is really easy to pass with anger, when you go over it, it goes into the not okay realm of the emotion. But anger itself can be very healthy. And if we suppress that, then more unhealthy things will happen. So I'm happy that you would be angry and wrathful in this situation because it's it needs to come out.
Man, I haven't been angry and wrathful from that kind of a situation in like 10 years. So be interesting. Be interesting. And okay. So follow up topic on this.
Yeah.
They also talked about keeping in touch with exes. And it's another thing that opened me up to seeing something a different way because it's really easy to be jealous and nervous and all of those things about someone having a relationship or a friendship or a catch up scenario with their ex.
Right.
And, they talked about, Kristen talked about Dax having like regular catch ups with his ex who he spent 9 years with. And it was hard for her at first, but eventually she came to realize that she's glad she's with someone that didn't absolutely throw away 9 years of caring for somebody.
Right, right.
Like she could see that that was actually a good quality. I thought, again, I was like, wow, okay, I've never thought of it that way. I have to try very hard to not feel, because I've been in relationships where people talk with their exes and cheat with their exes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or hide talking with their exes. I know that you are in touch with at least one or a few of yours, and you have like a very respectful thing going on there. And from the get-go, I've just had to be like, okay, that's all right. Like, it doesn't mean anything, but it deep down, it just ruffles some feathers.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, you used to love this person and make love to this person. So I, again, was like, oh, I don't have a very evolved view on this, and I would like to. And I just appreciate those kinds of conversations so much because it opens your mind. And that's why I listen to podcasts.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had those conversations a lot where, and I was really upfront about it from the get-go. Like, listen, I didn't hate this person when we split up and we talk. It's rare when we talk, but we catch up. I know their family, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure. And sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, and then I'm very encouraging, you know, because you have, you're thinking about, well, you just rejoined the gym where you have an ex-boyfriend, and that's way more uncomfortable for you than it is for me. I'm like, listen, this gym's like, your friends go there.
Yeah.
Like, this guy, even though you don't want to be around him or whatever, he's not there a lot. And there's an opportunity there for you to go do it. And it doesn't bother me at all. And if you talked with him or gave him a hug or a high five, that wouldn't bother me either.
Yeah, I know.
Because that falls into a control thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be so open that everything can happen. Because for relationships, I prefer monogamous and trustworthy. And open and vulnerable, and you know, with all of that comes a lot of strength and for me, and that I appreciate. But so I can't be too open, but I need to allow you to do your thing. And if you happen to cheat on me, then I can't control that anyways. So to live in that fear and to try and diminish that from happening and try and control and ask what's going on and maybe say, hey, are you texting this person? What did you guys talk about? Did you see him today? Yeah. All that stuff doesn't help anything.
No.
It's like, you know, when you ask somebody, oh man, are you worried? And that person goes, oh, would that help? The answer is no, it doesn't help.
That's a good question to
ask. It happens anyways, but because I'm human. It happens anyways, but no, go do your thing, talk to who you need to talk to and be in a relationship. But keep in mind that if some lines are crossed, which we talk about, say cheating, say, you know, getting too emotionally attached, going out and hanging out together more often than, you know, say every couple of months for a quick lunch, then we need to deal with how I feel about that and talk through that, have that conversation, and then move forward from there. That kind of thing.
I like it.
Okay.
I totally agree with everything you're saying.
Yeah.
And the other side of this is reflecting on how I am with my exes, because at first, I'm talking about how I feel about you talking to your exes. I have always had a habit of, when I'm done with someone, I'm done. Mm. They are cut off. I don't talk to them. I don't see them. I don't even think about it. I start to forget about the relationship altogether. Like, it's hard for me to recall a lot of people, like the relationships that I've had with people, a lot of specifics. It's like I start to black it all out. So I have zero relationships with my exes, and I've always been that way. And listening to this podcast, I was like, well, what does that say about me? I've been with people for years and I throw that away. And with this specific situation, I mean, it gets so messy. I guess it always depends. But I, you know, if we ever moved on from each other, I couldn't throw that away.
But to be fair, I hear what you're saying, and I love that you're enjoying your humbleness in the situation, like what's my side of the street, which is amazing. But we've talked about your relationships, and they weren't good relationships.
No.
And the men weren't great.
Boys.
They weren't great. The boys weren't great boys. So it makes the suppressing of it too hardcore is unhealthy, but walking away from it and not having a catch up
friendship, yeah.
Friendship, that's okay. You know, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
I've had relationships where it's no deal.
Complete cut off.
Oh dude. Yeah. I haven't talked to him. Won't ever talk to him.
Mm.
But I've been fortunate enough to be a little healthier later on in life. So I have a little healthier relationships and, you know, the split up happens. And then, you know, every once in a while there's a phone call.
Yeah. So since you brought up the gym guy one, specific situation.
His name isn't Jim, is it?
No.
Okay. So let's just.
The CrossFit guy?
Let's refer to him as the gym guy.
Okay. So. That situation end messily. And you and I went to a CrossFit gym for years. And then you stopped going. And then out of nowhere, he shows up and decides he's not going to that gym. And I'm already there. And I'm like, okay, are you sticking around? Like, I don't want to hang out. And
which, by the way, sounds very uncomfortable. If the relationship was bad and now this person's coming into your kind of domain that you have friends in and stuff, and now that sucks. That whole thing sounds sucky.
It was like, I don't hate this person, but I'm not going to choose to spend time being vulnerable, by the way, doing CrossFit and getting sweaty and cheering each other on. Like, I'm not in that space. And I think I'd be open to being friendly if I knew that, like, every once in a while he'll send me like a message on social. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
And it just feels he was a big liar and he did some two-timing stuff and stayed with his person. It was messy. And I know how he is, and I know that when he's reaching out to me, it's probably not okay with it. Like, it's in secret. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
It's not appropriate.
Nothing's above board with this guy.
Right. And that's been a trend as long as anyone's dated him.
Okay.
So even as nice as a message is, it is very friendly. I don't respond because it's not a safe zone. I just don't even want to be involved in that.
Yeah.
So.
And you don't have to.
And I also know though that like if I did just rejoin the gym and if like I'm fairly certain that she didn't even know I worked out there and you know, I don't want to get blown up on again. So it's just weird. It's a weird situation.
Yeah. I think like if you just do you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't, you know, don't fall. Just be careful from the falling back into the trap of he said, she said, and what if, and that, all that stuff. You just do you.
That's exactly what it is falling back into old ways. Because the minute you see someone from your past or from your family, like your core family.
Yeah.
All that old behavior comes crashing back over you and you're a teenager again or you're a little sister again. And that is the worst because we all grow and change, hopefully, and work on ourselves. And I'm a different person now, but someone can bring you back to who you were in a second. And you're like, ooh, I haven't thought about that in a long time and I don't really want to be there.
Yeah.
That's just interesting.
Yeah. It's funny how all the work we can do can get dismantled in seconds. Mm-hmm. And then like there comes like a lot of self for me, like when I fall back into old behaviors, after that whole thing goes down, I fall back into old behaviors, whether it's in a conversation or a physical thing afterwards, there's a lot of shame to deal with. a lot of depression, a lot of self-loathing. I get really hard on myself, and now I have to climb out of this hole. But since I already have the tools, it's a lot faster of a climb. Mm. And then the next time it comes up, I can handle it a little better. And it usually takes a few times for me to get back to, you know, my healthy self in those situations, people, places, and things, those dynamics where that can suck me into those old behaviors. It takes mm-hmm. me a while to like right the ship and get involved in my new healthy behaviors of communication and self-confidence and understanding where I'm at and where this person's at and not comparing my insides with their outsides and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It takes a while. It's mm-hmm. you know, life's like, it's a roller coaster in your butt, man.
Well, the great thing about talking about this too is you've been nothing but understanding and encouraging in any of these situations, whether they've happened or not. And so that's one thing I don't have to deal with. I can know that this is all me. This is all my stuff. This is all my past and whatever I want to deal with or not deal with. And you are just like my partner. And I don't have to deal with jealousy or weirdness from you ever, which is great.
Yeah, we're a couple of stones in the river, which is nice. You know, you like that metaphor? A couple of stones in the river.
You can throw stones, though. What does that mean?
I don't know. You tell me. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Let's say what's bigger than a river, rock, something you can't really lift up, you know?
A boulder
in the river, a couple of boulders in the river.
You're a boulder in my river.
All right. Hey, river's cold. It's kind of,
That is not.
Do you feel kind of, it's chilly in here.
Pretty warm, actually. Pretty good.
I got the shivs.
I don't know.
I got the shivvies.
Are you okay?
Do you feel that? You feel how cold it is in here?
Starting to feel it.
It's cold outside, but it's hot in your butt.
Just for the record, we never agreed that would be our...
That is the song for Me Like You No Lucky.
To the segment.
That is the official song. It has been decided so.
I'm going to delete every episode that you do that in forever. You
can't delete the
beginning
past.
Of time.
Can't delete what's already been happening.
I can delete the future and... forbid you to ever do that again.
definitely not. Can't delete the future.
All right, people, we're bringing back our OG segment called Me Likey, Me No Likey.
I can't wait for this one. I got some real tasty morsels.
All right, hold on there, bucko.
You were talking about your brain exploding earlier, but right now, it's after I say these things, it's gonna explode again.
All right, keep your pants on. Let me tell people what Me Likey, Me No Likey is. Where you get so excited. This is a time where Kyle and I sit down and we each get to share something about the other that we particularly enjoy and something about the other that we absolutely cannot stand. We like to keep it lighthearted though, Kyle. Remember? Nothing that's going to damage my
ego. I'm going right to the core. I'm going to cut right to the core.
Well, why don't you go first?
No, you go first.
Well, fuck. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
Wow, that was easy.
Should I start with?
The only reason I want you to go first is because I lost where my me likey no likey is.
Okay, good. I'm going to start with a me likey. Okay?
Yeah.
Me likey. I hope I haven't said this one already. It also is annoying, but I do like it in theory. That when you're really angry at me, or when we're in like a little bit of a riff, or I've clearly done something to make you upset, you'll do an act of kindness to me. Have I said this one?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, listen again. Okay. You will do an act of kindness for me, like fold my laundry when we're in the middle of a thing, or like, and then ultimately it turns things into a positive direction. But it also makes me feel guilty. But I think that's a really good quality to have. And I'm grateful that you do that instead of the opposite, which is like punch me when I'm low, you know, not physically punch me, but like
Right.
Metaphorical punch.
Right.
You'll do something kind, and then it just makes me realize, oh, all right, this is silly.
So I heard this real quick. I heard this, what do you call it when it's an anecdote? I heard this anecdote upon this marriage that was failing.
Oh.
And this, it was a husband and wife. And I don't know if this is a true story or not, but I love the sentiment. And it makes a lot of sense to me, and that's why I do that. And plus, Ellen, at the end of every show, she says, be kind to one another.
Oh, Ellen.
So this anecdote is, that it's a failing marriage, husband and wife. They don't know what they're doing, but it's in the husband. They don't know where it's going, how it's being handled. They're totally lost in this marriage. And this story is in the husband's point of view. So the husband's completely flabbergasted, has no idea how to do this. Failing marriage. It's ending. Everything sucks. Life is a hamster wheel. Everything's boring. Everything's depressing. So they've tried everything. Couples therapy, all mm-hmm. this stuff, arguing all the time. Everything's a big pile of shit. So what he decides to do is he decides to get up every morning. I think I might have mentioned this already.
I don't know.
And ask himself and her what he can do for her today. Mm. And then at first she hated it because nobody likes, you know, false positivity or I don't need any help from you. You know, all there's a whole laundry list of what how you wouldn't like that question. But he keeps doing it, and he keeps doing these acts of love, and then he starts acting as if he's madly in love with his wife. And they slowly rebuild their entire relationship from that premise, which is positive thoughts, positive thinking, acting your way into a new way of thinking. For sure, there's sudden death, but there might be another way to do this. There might be, and what's the worst that can happen? And that's what I do. That's what I try to do. I try and do an act of kindness.
Wow.
Because I believe in forgiveness. I believe in kindness. I believe in the glass half full and a silver lining because I have to, because I am susceptible to depression and anxiety, and left to my own devices, I am manipulative and I am depressed and I am a worried person and a shell of myself. And so I have to do these things in order to be whole and healthy. And that's why I do them. Not because I like it, but because I have to.
Well, that took a turn.
Anyways.
And now I'm going to talk shit about you.
Here we go. Likey.
Okay. I know, likey, that you refuse to listen to the rules of a new board game we're learning to play. No. And then we all try and play it, and you have no idea what's going on, and you don't know what to do, and then you ask questions, and we're all legit trying to play it, and drives me bonkers.
I have this...
You cannot defend yourself.
I have this habit of being a wild card in the board game situation, but here's...
It's become a habit, because, again, you know it annoys me.
If I may... If I may, just real quick, is I love to ruffle feathers in those situations because people are concentrating so hard to get these rules right and how to play right. But you're never going to know how to play a new board game until you get into the first run of it.
Yeah, but with the basic understanding of what the rules are. The basic premise of the game.
Wild card, baby!
Some of us at game night, we have all these game nights with our friends.
I fly by the seat of my pants.
And some of us enjoy playing the games. And we always have a new one to learn, and we're always excited about it. And the minute we pull out the rule card and start kind of going through it, and someone is in charge of explaining it, it's usually me or, I mean, Brandon or Tara usually take lead too. You'll get up from the table and go grab a snack, and then you'll chit-chat with someone and be joking, and ha-ha, you are not even a little bit listening.
Snacks aren't going to eat themselves, and LaCroix's aren't going to drink themselves.
And then will literally, it's like the first turn and you'd be like, okay, what do I do? Oh my God.
Okay. You know what?
You're not invited anymore.
I apologize and I'll do better next time. I will listen. I'll toe the line. I'll walk that line.
Let's see.
I'll sit in my chair. I will listen. I will make eye contact.
Prove it.
And then in the first round, when you hear me ask, mm-hmm. okay, so how do I do this and where do we go from here and how does this work? Mm-hmm. You're going to know that it's a sincere question instead of,
yeah,
he wasn't paying attention.
I have an inkling that there will be less of those questions once you start to listen.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I apologize.
Don't take the high road here.
But it's kind of a sorry, not sorry situation. Yeah, because it does add some levity to the whole situation. Because board games can get really serious.
Mm.
And, you know, I just want to thank all the wild cards out there. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart because we're kindred. And it's important to have a wild card in the gang. You got to have a wild card.
That's true.
Okay. You ready for mine?
No.
Here we go.
What are you starting with?
Me no likey.
Oh.
Right off the bat. And this one's been, this is a new development and I hate it with all of the hate in the world.
Hold on a second.
I'm going right to the core.
You bring stuff up just to embarrass me. That is unnecessary. Everyone does.
Listen, I didn't trip you up going into your no lucky. I would appreciate the same thing in return. Are you going to let me finish?
You do the same stuff.
Here's what I know likey is you talk too quiet.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say something else. Yeah. Yeah.
You fucking mumble, yeah, I mumble. So quiet. You do this thing that's so frustrating. I'm in the other room. I go, hey, what is ... I ask you a question, for example. What is on the TV or what is Salem doing? And then I'm in the other room. So my voice is louder because I'm in the other room. And then you are sitting on the couch or wherever and you just talk as if I'm like right next to you. Oh, Salem's itching his balls. And I go, what? And then you say it the same level, man. Oh, Salem's itching his balls. And I go, what? And I've said what so many times that now I just say, I go, I can't understand
you. You're fucking mumbling.
I can't understand you when you're mumbling.
Can't understand you when you're mumbling and you just get mad.
Me no like.
Look, you're right. Sometimes I mumble and that's
don't just mumble now.
Okay.
It's like a whisper in mumble. It's a wisp mumble. It's a
in
whistumble.
My defense. I think I've taken habit to being quieter and short and concise in my stories and explanations of things because I grew up with someone who everything, and I have people at work who everything is long-winded and on, and the point's been made and they're still talking and certain people are very loud talkers.
This is not the same thing. You're arguing against it the wrong way.
They're loud talkers, sometimes shrill, like it hurts my voices. I can't fucking stand that. And so in turn, I don't want to be loud or shrill or talk over people. So I think I've made a habit of being quieter.
Okay. I appreciate that explanation.
You'd be so annoyed if it were the opposite.
Oh, dude, we wouldn't be together. If you were shrill.
Yeah. Or just loud. Just I'm talking to you right here over dinner and everyone in the restaurant can hear. Whew.
No good.
No good.
No good.
But well, I hear you. There's a happy medium.
Yeah, well you have to project.
Listen
properly in order for someone to hear you in the other room.
I'm trying to work on it. I actually really have caught myself a couple times.
Okay.
And will continue to do so. I would also like to learn to enunciate better and be a clearer speaker because I can hear it when I listen to the podcast. And I think a career in voiceovers would be really fun.
Yeah, I think you should go for that.
Well, I mean, it's not an easy thing. I don't want to
put
down everyone who's spent their lives trying to be a voice actor.
You have
to have a great voice. You have to have a really good voice.
You got a great voice. Everybody's complimenting your voice on this podcast and not mine. So you got the voice.
Someone told me that you sound like, I think it was Dax.
Well, I will
and
take
that your voice was very comforting.
And
someone else told me that you had an Elvis look going on.
Ew. So let me get into my me likey.
Okay.
So I love this about you. It's super cute. It's amazing. I just can't believe you do it. And it's the most incredible thing ever is when you cry, you get overheated and you have to take your pants off. And I just think it's the cutest thing when we're watching a movie and the tears start rolling. Oh man, I'm so hot. And then you get up and you take your pants off and you sit back down and you're in your underwear crying and we're watching the movie and I'm usually crying too. And it's just hilarious and so cute and so endearing and I love it so much and me likey.
Oh man, that's so sweet of you to say. That actually made me feel really good inside because it's a weird thing that's been happening maybe the last few years.
Yeah.
It's a new development and I just start to sweat.
Menopause.
Maybe early onset. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the minute you have this kind of feeling kind of tingle creep in from the back where you're like, my cry is building up and then it just starts to pour out the eyes, I immediately start to sweat. Mm-hmm. And it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll be watching a movie by myself. Like I watched Call Me By Your Name for the first time.
So incredible.
That might be the best movie I've watched all year. Last year, I loved it, and I was just crying so much, though, and loving it, and I just wasn't wearing much by the end, and you came out because you were in here and saw that going on, and it's just funny.
This year's Oscars were really good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really
man,
enjoyed
we missed
it.
The Oscars with the pod.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it again.
All right.
Hey, this has been good. I have to go to the bathroom so bad right now.
Number one or two?
I'm going to lose it in a second. So we got to end this podcast.
Number one or two?
It's a number one.
Which will probably turn into a number two because you're Kyle.
All right. Well, hey, this has been great, babe.
Fun times. Thanks for sticking us out with the gap.
Yes. Thank you so much for being a listener and being part of this community. Seriously, like it's so wonderful that we have a few listeners. And I love you so much, honey. And this is one of the best things ever.
I love you too.
Bye, everyone.
Later.